This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will reap. For if he sows in the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You'll be forgiven, but there are consequences if you continue on, you see. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sinning that grace may abound? Surely not.
If you adhere solely to the world's standards of moral righteousness, you'll inevitably find disappointment in the results. However, Pastor Eddie shares that by embracing God's grace, you can blossom into the person you were always meant to be. His grace offers a clean slate that transcends any earthly forgiveness, enabling you to overcome your challenges and grow spiritually. Allow God's grace to permeate every aspect of your life. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 as he continues his message, To Just Live by Faith.
Verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off that I may be grafted in. Yeah, they've been broken off. Now I'm grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief. Unbelief. Because of unbelief, they've been broken off this tree. They were broken off. And you stand by what? Faith. Do not be hoardy, but fear. Oh, why should I fear? Here's the reason why. For if God did not spare the natural branches, the children of Israel, because of unbelief, he may not spare you either. Once saved, always saved. Okay, here we go. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God of those who fall, severity, but towards you, goodness. You continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Unbelief. They've been grafted in. But what can take? That's what happened to the children of Israel. That was the other warning of unbelief. That's why there's one. Don't drift away. You know, I've known people that gave their lives to them. They cried. They've been part of the worship team. And then I hear them on the phone. I don't believe Jesus Christ is Lord anymore. You know, you can't. Well, Jesus, once saved, always saved. But say, you know, Lord, okay, I confessed. I lived my life. I read my Bible. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, once enlightened. But Lord, because you're drifting away, I don't believe you anymore. I just don't want to believe that anymore. I don't believe you. That's it. What do you think God's going to say? I'm sorry. You stuck with me. Once saved, always saved. Then that's not free will, you see. If that's the case, why didn't God force man from the very beginning? He created four free will moral agents. When you gave your life to the Lord, it was you, by your free will, said, I repent. I now surrender my life. Now I'm born again because I believe I choose to change my life and I believe. At that moment, free will was never taken away from you. Why do you keep doing the things you're doing? When you know what Paul says, the things that I should be doing, I just don't do. And the things that I'm not supposed to do, I do it. Oh, this wretched man, right? So just to get that out of the way, that wasn't in my notes, but I just felt it was the need to do it. Anyway. This illumination, we have this word here, you know, right? It illuminated, here we see in verse 32. And the word that we just saw in chapter 6, verse 4, it was enlightened. Both these words, illuminated and light, is the Greek word photizo. It's the same word. Both is the same word in the Greek. It means to be enlightened, to give light, to shine, to understand. For those of you who have the Strong Concordance, that's why I put the G5461. If you want to search it for yourself in the Strong Concordance, that is the definition of the word. They've been enlightened. They've been illuminated. So this passage is referring to those that have been enlightened, who have been illuminated by having received the knowledge of truth. They have received the gospel truth. They understand that Jesus Christ is the only way. And so they lack nothing intellectually. They lack nothing when it comes to the word of God about truth, the only sacrifice through Jesus Christ. Now, this is important. This is important because with this in mind, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, we're talking about willful sin. What about me? I'm not an apostate. I'm not leaving Jesus. But there are sins that I myself, you know, I have a weakness in. And yes, sometimes I just deliberately do it. You know, if you know it's wrong, then that's a good thing. The bottom line is when you don't think it's wrong, because that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. Say, you know, it's just wrong. But you have a lot of people have weaknesses, okay? But that doesn't mean that you're walking away from God. There's a difference, because are we perfect? No, we're not. Are we better than sinners? No, we're better off because we do have Christ. So we sin as believers. I'm trying to do my best to serve and honor God, but I sin and I sin over and over and over again. This is does not apply to you. We're going to see furthermore evidence that does not apply to you. The believer who wants to continue in their faith, who believe in Jesus Christ, is the only way. This is not referring to the believer who continues sin deliberately to say that there comes a point where God's going to cut you off. Just look at that theologically for a minute. Just think about that, ponder that. I'm not talking about those who are walking away from the Lord. No longer believe. I'm talking about those who are in their faith in Christ, and yet we always sin, we fail all the time, and, you know, it's different with the unbeliever, that is. But you as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, we're forgiven. The ones that walk away, the ones that actually be cut off when God says no more, are the unbelievers, who reject Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. Sadly, I've come across quite a few of those. That for years you share the gospel, they don't want to hear it. They don't believe in that. You could share everything. Oh, man, you could share some amazing things scripturally to prove that there is God. Not that we're to prove God, but show them in the word that there is the only way, there is a heaven, there is a God. And there's come the point where, just like Pharaoh, God hardened his heart. Now, when God hardened Pharaoh's heart, it wasn't because God made it, you know, change his will, his way of thinking. No, the Hebrew word, the Lord already told Moses before he went after Israel, he went to deliver them. The Lord told Moses, listen, he's going to harden his heart. I'm telling you right now. And so it happened. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then at the end, God said, I hardened his heart. In other words, he confirmed his decision. Because he continually hardened his heart. And only God knows when God says, that's it. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. And that was before the flood. And that's what brought the flood. It didn't, you know, God, they knew of God, they heard of God, but they refused. Those that don't believe, who reject the only way of salvation, after a while, God's going to say, enough is enough. But you, the believer, you continue on. It's not referring to the believer. Because Jesus, when he was on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. This is the point. He said, it is finished. Telestai. He didn't say, well, okay, I paid for your sins up to this point. And you run out of it. And I'm not prepared to pay for them any further. Does that make sense? No. Jesus said, okay, I paid for your sins. All right, it is finished. But listen. Save your sins for a rainy day. Because is to say that the effect of the cross, it has no effect. It's only limited. You sinned enough, that's it. So it doesn't apply to you. It doesn't apply to one who wants to remain in their faith and continue in the faith. That's the point, to continue on. And as we continue on in our lives, we're going to blow it. We're going to mess up all the time. That's why John wrote in his first letter, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, this is called the Christian bar soap. It says this, if we confess our sins, we, Christians, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you continue to sin, you'll be forgiven. Now, there are consequences, right? There are consequences. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, Paul writes this. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will reap. For if he sows in the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You'll be forgiven, but there are consequences if you continue on, you see. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sinning that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And so, the writer is not referring to a believer who willfully sins or sins continually, because you're still in the body. What he is referring to is those who continue sin willfully. Now, let's look at the text. Remember, context is king. When you read this passage, do not just take one verse and apply it to everything. Read it. Read it from the whole chapter. Read the chapter before. Read the chapter after. Read the if it's in chapter 2, read chapter 1 and chapter 3. Get the whole context. Don't take one verse and make it fit to everything. That's not the way you study the Word of God. Now, we're going to see in context here. Remember, the book of Hebrews was written by a Hebrew for the Hebrews. Understand? And what was he saying for the past 10 chapters? Jesus better. He's looking at it from a Jewish perspective. These Jews were being persecuted. They wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to the sacrifice of animals. They wanted to go back to the priest. They wanted to go back to the temple. Why? Because of persecution. They wanted to go back to Judaism. After they discovered that Jesus fulfilled the promise, he is the promised Messiah. He is the only way. All that was a shadow. The Lord said, I will give him a new covenant, right? He's writing to Hebrews. He's a Hebrew writing to Hebrews, right? And in the context of sin here, the willful sin is the sin that he's talking about in context is to willfully and permanently return to the old system of sacrifice of Judaism. That's what he's talking about. He's talking to Jewish believers who wanted to willfully sin, continue to sin by rejecting the only work of the cross to go back to animal sacrifice. That is what he's talking about here. Those who sin willfully, having the knowledge of truth, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice for the remission of sins, if they deliberately, continually go into the old system, then it is what they call apostasia, an apostate. Therefore, at the end of verse 26, it says, look at the end of verse 26, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Because they already know the truth about sacrifices. They know Jesus the only way. In other words, it is literally turning your back against God and the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. Because they have rejected the true and only sacrifice, Jesus Christ. That's an apostasy right there. Apostasy from faith would be such a willful act, and for those who commit it, no longer a sacrifice is left for them. And this is important. Because in context, it's talking to Jews who wanted to go back to the sacrifice. So how is this applicable for you and I? Well, in the same way, some people could walk away from their faith. They could say, well, I don't believe in and I don't need the sacrifice. I don't need Jesus anymore. Right? In the same way, the Jews who heard of Jesus, they were illuminated. They had the truth. But now they want to go back to the sacrifice of lambs. Gentiles, who probably never practiced Judaism, they say, well, I find a better way. I want my own way. You see, it's in the same way. And having received the faith, having already been illuminated, that is apostasy. Now, let's look at this word apostasy, apostasia. You're probably looking in your Bibles and you won't find the word apostasy in your English translation, okay? Because it's in the Greek. And is mentioned twice, actually three times in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, is a form of apostasy. But the apostasy that we're talking about is only mentioned twice in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and Acts chapter 21, verse 21. And the words are falling away, That is, and forsake. These are the two words. It's apostasy. It's the same word. So you see the English words falling away, or you see the English word forsake. They're all one of the same word in the Greek, apostasia. It means rebellion, falling away. It means abandonment. Why is that in your Bible? Because it's possible. So the doctrine, or that little cliche, once saved, always saved, it tells you right there that it's apostasy, rebellion, falling away. Why is it in the Bible? And so that is the warning here. Is the warning is apostasy. Those who knew the truth, but now because they drifted away, because if you look at the five warnings in the book of Hebrews, there's a buildup here. You drift away. What happens when you drift away? It's like, it's a nautical, image there of a ship just, it's not anchored. Right? It just drifts away. Right? Unbelief. And the writer of Hebrew gave us the warning of unbelief. The children of Israel, they didn't believe. They never made it to the promised land. They had to wander in the desert for 40 years, right? Until that generation who did not have faith died off. And that's what happened. And then the spiritual immaturity and the dangers of that. Now we look at apostasy, those who have fallen away. So that's the warning here. That is the warning. Now back to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 27. Going on with that thought there. It says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. There is no other sacrifice. He says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour. That word devour means consumed completely the adversary. Before you were saved, you were an enemy of God. You were an enemy of God before you were saved. Whether you say, well, I didn't say. Well, because you denied him. You're either a friend or foe. Not a frenemy. We have a lot of those. You're a friend or foe. And for those who have turned away after receiving the knowledge of the truth, Jesus Christ, there is a certain fearful expectation of judgment, fire and indignation, and the judgment of God is certain and inescapable. Inescapable. People may get away with murder and literally get away with murder, but they're not going to get away with the judgment of God. God sees all things in Revelation that said he has the eyes of a fire. And it's not that you get an artist that will start drawing Jesus with eyes of fire. It just means that everything he sees and fires judgment, he's going to judge everything he sees with his eyes. And God sees everything. Can you imagine all that God sees every day? Judgment of God is certain. And that we can see here in verse 27. It is certain and is inescapable. You're either with Christ or against Christ. If you're against Christ, you're an adversary, you're an enemy. God knows how to judge. He's perfect. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter writes this, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. That's the judgment that's going to finally take place in the millennial reign of Christ, where he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. Right now, nobody's in hell. They're going to be in hell once we get to Revelation after the Great Tribulation, after the church's rapture, after the Great Tribulation, and then there's a judgment. And we're going to see who's going to be put in the lake of fire first. It's going to be the first and second false prophet, the Antichrist, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And then those that will be judged by the books. If your name is not written in the book of life, fiery, judgment. I know this is not a popular sermon. Hey, come to church, get motivated. I think not. Okay? But we need to know the truth. We need to know our Bibles. Verse 28, it says, anyone who has rejected Moses, now he's going to show, because these people are Jews, they're Hebrews, right? They just gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And they're attempting to go back, but he's going back to say, hey, listen, let's compare this. He said in verse 20, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, the writer of Hebrews, writing to Hebrews, and he's saying, going back in Judaism, full well that the judgment of those who went against the law, they would be stoned to death. And it wasn't a trial by 12, right? It was two or three witnesses. That's all you needed. Hey, Menachem, did you see him? Oh, yeah. Hey, Saul, come over here. Did you see? Yeah, time to stone him to death. That's how it was. Two witnesses. If they break that law, that's in Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you want to study that. And so, with the old covenant, the law, there was no mercy. They were judged without mercy. Notice that. Notice they were judged without mercy. But I am so grateful that we don't have to live by the law. I'm grateful because of Jesus Christ. It is no longer the law, it is grace. It is grace. It is the law, the amazing grace of God. Look at verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy? Who, speaking of the apostate, he's speaking of the apostate, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he, that's the apostate, was sanctified. So they're Christian. They're illuminated, they're sanctified. They had the truth. To consider it what? A common thing. Trample the Son of God underfoot and consider the sacrifice that he has done a common thing and insult the Spirit of grace. I mean, this is serious. From one to having the truth, walk in truth, been enlightened, been sanctified, and now to go back to the temple, go back to the shadow. It is a very dangerous thing to view the blood of Jesus Christ as a common thing. A common thing. Here he says to trample the Son of God underfoot. And it goes further. He ends in verse 29. This is a lot. This is serious stuff here in verse 29. And he said, and insult the Spirit of grace? The Spirit of grace? Do you understand all the work the Holy Spirit has done to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world? Do you understand the work of the Holy Spirit had to do in order to bring salvation and to insult the Holy Spirit? Apparently, what it appears here, there is greater punishment for those who've been once enlightened and have rejected. And God knows the heart. It's not for us to judge. Well, I think that person rejects God. Don't ever put yourself, that is a dangerous thing to do. To say whether a person is going to heaven or hell, that is not your place. You may witness the person being evil, but that person, you'd be surprised. They may have repented and be in the presence of the Lord. You'd be surprised you're going to find heaven. One can reject Jesus till their deathbed, but in their very last breath could repent to be born again and in the presence of God. Never judge it. That's what Jesus said. Hey, don't judge. Righteous judgment by knowing the wolves, okay? Righteous are by knowing their fruit. But to know where the person in their heart, you can't see in the person's heart.
You've been listening to Running the Race with Pastor Eddie. Pastor Eddie's been digging into the book of Hebrews. So many treasures are found within this book. Hebrews 11 by itself is a remarkable testament of God's view of his people and their faith. You might feel like an utter failure. How about looking at the list of names mentioned who had great faith? You might not expect some of them to even have made it into the Bible, but God views us differently than we view ourselves. Isn't it nice to know that even though you fail in your human sin, God sees the bigger picture and the true heart behind what you're doing and why? If anything you've heard today has you wondering, would you get in touch with us? All of our contact info can be found on our website, runningtheraceradio.com. Running the Race is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Milford. Here's Jessica to tell you more about how you can partner with us.
Prayers for this ministry would be so appreciated. The opportunity for the lost to be reached over the radio is incredible. So please pray for our listening audience and that what's shared will alter people's lives forever. Another way you can support us is by prayerfully considering giving in a financial way. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into producing this program, and we're grateful for all who are willing to come alongside us to support the creation of each program. If you feel led to do this, you can find a Give tab at runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Running the Race.